Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
We ready?
Hey, everybody.
Hi, guys.
Oh, my God. Our live show is just a few days away.
It is.
Are
just
we
a few
ready?
I hope so. I really hope so. The question is Matt ready? We may never know.
We may never know. I don't think we need to do a predictions for this week, you know, or for this show, because we were all worried about the Brooklyn show if Matt was going to shit it down. Turns out he didn't. He did walk off of the stage, but that's fine. I think we can just expect that there will be something that will happen that would cause Matt to run off stage.
If it's the same exact success that we had, hopefully, in Brooklyn with a little bit more professionalism for Matt, like, just keep the mask on.
Then
just, like, keep
crossed,
it on. Then I think we'll be okay.
Matt, do you have, like, a wardrobe ready? Because I know you were kind of confused. You didn't have the reindeer head.
Please don't take it off this time.
I have a video of you trying to put the antlers on, and Darren, like, saves the day and helps you put antlers on. Like, what are your thoughts? Are you prepared?
All prepared, Dave.
Oh, okay.
You can only do that if you're a professional and you're good at your job.
Right.
Most people should take a week to prepare. Like me.
Yeah.
You could throw me on a stage and I can fucking kill it. I don't need to prepare anything. I do this all day long, every day.
Okay.
Matt's 0 for 3.
Well, you're not a reindeer. You don't have antlers to be concerned about. Mm. You don't have masks. And, you know, I mean, it complicates things. Well,
totally.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, no, putting on a mask is hard.
Well, if we haven't sold the show for you enough.
Yes, right, exactly.
Get your tickets for our show this Wednesday, December 12th in Washington, D.C. at the Hamilton Live at oxygen.tv/DC20.
I'm changing my thing right now to do exactly that. So I have, because now it's just oxygen.tv/MMLive.
Yeah, right.
But I want to make this specifically DC, so you can go into my profile right now and do that as well.
Lovely.
Yes.
So we hope to see you guys there. We're so excited. We don't have any other scheduled shows at the moment, so like if you want to see us for the next couple, you know, weeks, you're gonna have to come see us in DC. People came from Atlanta, from like St. Louis.
Oh my God,
all these other Charleston.
I know. And listen, and Matt just needs to come in right on stage night before,
right?
Doesn't matter.
He's
that good at his job.
Yeah,
doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? All he had to do was tie a knot. It makes me wonder what Matt does on Halloween with his kids.
Yeah,
because like they're wearing masks, and is he like,
right.
They sit him down, he's like, guys, this could be the most complicated holiday
well,
of
right.
your life.
Is he like, I don't know how to put this
you
mask on.
You gotta keep the costume on.
Yeah.
All he does is sit there.
Yeah. I just wish him the best. But like I said to the woman who yelled at me for eating meat at our last show, best wishes to you. We're moving on.
Wait. She mailed me eating
Do you remember
meat?
This? Yeah. At the live show. I don't think we got to this in the recap. Remember the person that came up during the Q&A session? She asked us what type of steak we like. And you said something. What did you say? Well done or something. I forget
medium
what you said.
Medium rare.
Medium rare. And then she turns to me and I'm like, oh, I don't really eat steak. And she was like, you don't really eat steak. And I was like, no. And she was like, well, don't you at least eat? And I was like, excuse me.
Well, that is offensive, John.
I was like, are you yelling at me? And like the audience was like laughing hysterically. I was like, best wishes. We're moving on to the next question.
Oh my God. Did I black out? Did I black out?
It is weird. Because we're in Brooklyn.
Hold on.
Like every other restaurant is like a vegan restaurant. You would think.
Yeah. And I was trying to explain it to her, and then she started yelling at me. And then I was like jokingly, was like, best wishes, next thing. And then you go, did he just say best wishes?
I blacked out.
And she like walked away, and I was like, I hope she doesn't think I really actually like don't like her. But then she was laughing, and I was like, I don't know. I felt bad, because then after on social media, I was like, if you're that girl, like, hit me up. I'm sorry.
And Matt's a vegetarian.
Yeah, something
you're
like that.
You're a pescatarian or vegetarian?
Pescatarian.
I'm not, like, anti-meat. It's just, like, a steak is a little bit weird to me. I don't like red meat in general. It's not really that great for you, according to doctors.
Sweetie, you love red meat.
Well, that was what you said on stage, by the way, which we need to talk about.
Shoe fits.
By the way, Darren, we didn't talk about this. Darren goes, listen, honey, John eats meat, and the entire crowd went crazy. And I'm literally
Megan appreciated it.
I'm on the floor with a microphone, and the spotlight is literally right on me. And I was like, great, what a great way to throw me under the bus.
Listen, I mean, I spit truth and rhymes,
okay,
and knowledge. And interesting.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for that.
Well wishes to you. We're moving on. I want to say that before we get into this, did you sneeze or are you laughing or did you cough? You're all red and you look like you were mid-tier.
Oh, were you laughing?
I couldn't tell.
I was laughing. I was thinking about something else. I wasn't even listening to you guys.
Typical.
Don't worry, just move along.
Speaking of, before we move on, speaking of not listening, there was also a moment in the Q&A. Actually, it was that same question. We moved to Matt to answer the question, and Matt must have had a couple of drinks and was just staring blankly down.
He better not have.
Was staring blankly down to the floor, and we were like, Matt? And he goes, oh, what? What was the question?
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me. It was like
Matt, you've
got
to listen.
You're on stage. Paying attention? Like, I do like your glasses, Matt.
Yeah, Matt's glasses.
But I will say, you know, we start the show off, if you're new to the show, about having a drink. And normally there's a cocktail.
Normally.
But I see a package of beer.
Uh-oh. Hope it's not a Yingling situation.
That's right.
Too much work for you this week,
that's
sweetie?
Right. No. It's a long story. I'll tell you.
Okay.
So our case takes place in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
And where Derek Jeter's
Kalamazoo.
From.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What's a Derek Jeter?
Don't talk to me.
So the case takes place in Kalamazoo. The brewery, Bell's, is from Kalamazoo. It's
I'm
the
into
beer
this.
Okay.
Of Kalamazoo.
Okay.
Also,
did you plan
I'm dating someone who grew up near Kalamazoo.
Oh, and riveting fact.
And told me to use the spirits, her favorite beer. So that's what I'm doing.
How quickly did she tell you to use this beer? Like,
and I'm not really married anymore. Because I've never talked about
this
it.
Yeah, this is
so
breaking
it's
news.
It's
going to
sound weird, but I just, that's the connection. I can't just
that's
pretend
fine.
Like that's not the connection.
Well, listen, it's breaking news. We're going to have to get into that in another show.
Well, if we can get into it. You know, he has children.
I know.
It's not like you and I, you know. You know, me and Megan just going strong on this show.
Yeah.
But Matt, I'm curious though, like, when did you tell said person, I'm going to use air quotes here,
said person,
about
you.
This beer versus when you knew about the case? Like, did she say this, that this is the thing that we should drink 5 minutes ago? Or was it like a couple days ago she was like, this would be cool?
Well, he was, you were prep.
Well
I wanted to, you know
out.
Who he likes
well
to come
out.
To the show.
Right.
No prep.
Yeah.
Right before. He doesn't need it. He's professional.
Yeah, right.
He just
It was well planned out.
Okay.
She actually wanted me to do the case, which is why we're doing the case, and suggested the beer, but she wanted a different kind of Bell's beer, but Two Hearted.
So if John and I have any requests,
yeah,
because we're the host, should we go through her, or do we come through you? Because
I'm
doing John's request week for Valentine's
Day. Oh, great, everyone's getting their requests
in. But this is also Two Hearted.
And everyone's getting them in.
Two Hearted being the name.
Baby.
Sorry. Two Hearted, of course, being the name of the brand. We should mention that. Two Hearted
Ale.
You're
still the mother of my child.
Okay, good.
Oh, God. Okay. Now I'm getting...
See, now we're back in the love fest, and it's all there.
My stomach's starting
to needed
hurt.
That reaffirmation from him. Let's start off the case by cheers and some beers.
Bitches.
Cheers,
we can
bitch.
Actually cheers.
Did Darren just get jealous?
No.
I don't think so.
No. I just want to know when I can, like, actually have a suggestion of,
you
know, a
of
case
what
you for,
like...
Well... You know, I mean, I have to drink it every single week.
Listen, we have to
cheers,
talk about
bitches,
cheers,
bitches. Love you.
Bitches.
Thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah. So
said person.
We're going to jump right in now that we've got all of that business out of the way, all the housekeeping.
What is this, an IPA? Yeah.
IPA. So
7% by volume. John, take
what?
It easy on this.
Hold on.
Take it easy.
Oh, it just knocked me out just smelling
it. Yeah, I figured it did. It's hoppy. It's hoppy. I'm not a big IPA fan, but I like it, but I'm not a big IPA fan.
You know me. I love a good... twisted fruit martini, but so this is like beers. Like I can honestly say without a doubt, I don't think I've ever finished an entire beer in my life. That's how like ridiculous I am. And just that sip, I'm letting you know, like, someone's going to have to, like, finish it for me, or it's going to get more done.
Just real quick.
It's delicious. It's just a lot.
John and I were having a drink yesterday, and we're sipping it, and someone gives it to us. And I was like, oh, you're going to like it. And he goes, oh, my God, will I? So he takes a sip, and he goes, oh, my God, I love this drink. And our PA comes up, and he goes, that's ginger ale. He's like, well, I love it.
Wait a minute. Are you saying it was just ginger ale?
Yes. And I kept saying to you, and you were like, I love it. I was like, it's ginger ale. And I think you thought it was mixed with something. I was like, sweetie, it's just ginger ale.
It had olives in it. So I thought there must have been something else in it.
No.
That was not just ginger ale.
Yes, it was.
Okay. We'll talk about where exactly that was.
I love you, but you're having a Matt moment right now.
No, I just thought if there were, well, then why put olives in? Okay, we'll get to it next week.
Hashtag Matt moment. Yeah. We'll talk about it later.
All right. Well, let's get into this case since I was drunk on ginger ale. Here's
what's up. Just ginger ale, sweetie. Yeah,
do you have a hangover today?
No, I think I'm okay.
Yeah? The weather, ginger ale didn't get to you?
Was it the ginger ale or was it the weather today? I don't know. I'm just like struggle bus today.
Everyone's struggle bus.
I hope I'm not getting sick. That's what I'm worried
about. I am struggle
bus
city, yeah. And there's a party I have to go tonight at 9, and I'm like, can I skip it?
Just go home. It's one of those days. All right. Anyway, so Kalamazoo is a city in southern Michigan with a population of around 77,000 people, which we were just sort of talking about. With Western Michigan University and Kalamazoo College, it's a pretty quiet college town that is about 2 hours from both Chicago to the west and Detroit to the south.
Yeah.
A firefighter told the Oxygen show Criminal Confessions, which is one of my favorite shows ever on Oxygen. If you haven't seen it.
Criminal Confessions?
Oh my God. It's so, because you see literally like the moment, this is what the Chris Watts stuff that we did was a Criminal Confessions episode. You see it all go down. It's amazing.
I'm looking forward to The Witnesses, which premiered this weekend. I just haven't watched it, but it looks amazing.
If you're listening now, you can watch it online and in the Oxygen app.
Yes. I want the links.
I'll send you the links.
John?
You should have the Oxygen app downloaded. You have that downloaded, I'm sure, right?
I do, but I like links.
I'll send you. Send me the
links. I like to know that you care enough that I watch these things.
To send you the links.
I just want your email.
I do owe you screeners from Amazon stuff. We'll talk about it after. The firefighter said, quote, I've lived in Kalamazoo my entire life. Kalamazoo is one of those cities where it's small. Everybody kind of knows each other. You have a little bit of mixture between country. You've got a little bit of city, end quote.
A little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll, my friend.
So I love a little country, a little city, and I love the name Kalamazoo. Maybe I should move there.
Or Reno. You love a little big
Reno?
City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Why not?
Oh, there you go. On Saturday, February 20th, 2016.
Almost 4 years ago.
Yeah. Residents were startled by a sudden series of bangs. Listen, welcome to New York. Don't be startled by that here.
Welcome to my apartment, am I right? Be here all week, everyone.
Sudden series of bangs over at Darren's place, guys.
Thank you.
I hope your girlfriend's on.
Dan!
A woman...
Your wife is here and there's banging.
We haven't done that in a while.
Well, I'm bringing it back.
Yeah. Well, a woman in the neighborhood said, quote, I'm cooking and I don't know what was going on until I saw my daughter Joy and 11 screaming children flying through my door. It took them a while to say someone's shooting. This little girl, she kept saying, where's my mommy, end quote.
Oh, I can't. Heartbreaking. Nothing to say about that.
When the woman ran out, she found another woman wedged beside a curb. She told Criminal Confessions, quote, she was just laying there, shot up. I instantly started praying. She looked lifeless, you know. I didn't know if I was looking at a dead body, but she was able to speak. I knew I had to let her know the kids were okay, and so I said, I have them. You know, I know you don't know me. I live here. The children that were with you, your child, your children are okay, end quote.
It's so crazy to think about. Just you're in your apartment cooking 1 minute. And in this quiet, you know, town or mid-sized city, and then on Saturday, and then the next, you're like...
Refuge.
Maybe a dead body. Somebody shot up. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
You know, that is. It's really fleeting. How quickly, like, totally. A moment can change.
Even with the Kobe stuff, it's like...
I was just thinking that, like, the energy can just shift. Yeah.
Well, then a good Samaritan called 911, and police raced to the scene. An officer who heard the call and was familiar with the area knew it was full of families and kids, and he initially thought it was probably some sort of domestic violence dispute.
Which is fair. I'm sure that's mostly of it, you know?
Yeah, because you don't expect this kind of crime to just happen all the time.
No.
So. The dispatcher relayed that the shooter had fired 9 shots and was unsure how many had hit the victim. When officers interviewed witnesses, they learned that a man had just driven up and started shooting in a silver Chevy. That's a tough one to say.
Silver Chevy. Okay. Yeah, that's tough.
According to a local NBC affiliate, a man had, quote, circled the block before opening fire. Just before he did, he asked the victim, who had recently moved to the neighborhood and was outside with her three children, about her name. That's when 17-year-old James George heard bullets strike his home. Quote, I checked out the back window, saw the car driving, he told NBC affiliate. Quote, she was laying right there, end quote. Oof. Miraculously, the victim, Tiana Carruthers, a mother of three, was able to speak and describe the shooter as having a chubby face and blondish hair with a small silver semi-automatic handgun. Well, that's great that she was at least able to, like, get that out. My God, I mean, after going through such trauma.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know how these people, like, I'll get stressed and not be able to answer a question, like being late to a meeting where I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like after being like shot at or whatever, yeah. And like to have the wherewithal. I mean, I guess, you know, your mind does focus in,
sure.
But just to know all those details is so important. It reminds me of the movie Taken. You ever seen that?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Where he's like, you know, you're going to get taken, but every tattoo, every foot, like every detail. And I'm always like, always good to be aware. You know what I mean?
And I feel like we've talked a lot about this, just being like doing this show for so long and like working at Oxygen and like being on the subway, you kind of take notice of things that like you don't really remember doing before.
You do.
Well, NBC News reported that, quote, the shooting occurred around 6 p.m. local time at the Meadows Townhomes in the city's northwest, where one woman was shot several times but survived, end quote. The victim said, quote, I remember hearing the gunshots coming from behind me. The first bullet hit me in my left arm from behind. Then I got shot in my right leg. I just went down, and then the third bullet hit me in my left leg. I was laying face down. I kept trying to get under the truck that was next to me, and he just kept shooting. When I realized that he wasn't going to stop shooting, I laid there pretending like I was dead. Then a bullet hit me. I just remember feeling the bullet bounce inside of my stomach. It was the worst pain, end quote. Oh my God, the horrors of that
terrible.
Quote are horrible.
I can't even read it. This in here, but her liver was actually pierced completely by that last bullet.
It's terrible.
Oh my God.
The police told the public to be on the lookout for a silver Chevy with a description of the driver, but as the day went on, none turned up. Then came another 911 call.
So the caller said, quote, hi, we're on business 94. We passed the Kia dealership and a guy just shot some people in the parking lot, and there was a man standing there pointing a gun at two people lying on the ground. You could see the smoke from his gun and hear it as we drove by. So fresh.
So disturbing.
The caller didn't have many other details, but did say that the shooter had blonde or light colored hair. Thank you. An officer told Criminal Confessions, quote, I'd say Kalamazoo is a very safe town. We don't normally get multiple acts of violence in a short period of time. So having two shootings within hours, this seemed unusual, end quote. And maybe it's just because we live in New York and we obviously live in a big city. Like, I'm sure shootings happen, but kind of rare. I mean, I know it's the safest big city in the world, but it does seem like if two shootings happen very close to us, I feel like it would be very jarring even for a big city.
I would agree with that. Yeah. At least more recent New York City. You know, back in the day, New York was a lot more crime.
Well, yeah. Now it's the safest big city in the world. Yeah. Unsure of what was going on, the police approached the scene aggressively. One said, quote, we had other officers that had rifles, had guns out. They were looking. Hey, is this somebody that was shooting from a distance? Is this somebody that's still here? Could it be a trap? Could there be more victims? There were shell casings everywhere. An older man and a younger man were given life-saving procedures at the scene, but unfortunately, they did not survive.
That's terrible.
A woman named Lori Smith told Criminal Confessions, I had heard that a father and son had been shot at a car dealership on Stadium Drive. I went home, and my husband, Rich, wasn't there. And that's when my heart sunk. And so I dialed 911. I, you know, asked them, was it my son? And, you know, was it Rich and Tyler Smith? And the police officer said, yes. And I said, are they alive? And he said, no, I'm sorry. They didn't make it.
Oh,
end
that's
quote.
Terrible.
You know, they need, just going back to what I was saying before, I feel like it's so important for schools to add in a safety like class where you know how to give CPR or help someone if they're choking. It's always like extracurriculars, but I almost feel like it should be taught in gym.
Self-defense even?
Something like that. Yeah. Like just like everyday type of things I feel like is way more valuable to so many people. Like, I know how to give CPR if you were choking? Would I know what to do? Like, kind of, but not really.
Yeah,
and
same.
You don't want to make it worse. And you know,
you're making a great point. Take a drink when you're done.
I definitely will. This brutal execution had happened just hours after what seemed like another random shooting. So could they be linked, essentially? Yeah. Remember, it's a small town.
Yeah, yeah.
In a sad twist, the girlfriend of Tyler Smith, Alexis Cornish, had gone with him to the auto dealership, but she had remained in their vehicle while they looked at the truck, according to Michigan Live.
Mm.
Of the shooter, Alexis would later testify that she was in the backseat of their Range Rover when a man dressed in black, who was not too tall, not too short, a little bigger, heavy, with gray hair and glasses, walked up. She testified, quote, he walked up to Tyler and his dad and asked them what they were looking at. They turned around and went to tell them they were looking at the blue truck, but they didn't get the chance. He pulled out the gun and started shooting. They said, what are you doing? That's when I ducked behind the seat, end quote. Mm. Absolutely. I mean, for her to hide.
Yeah.
Alexis lifted her head up and saw the shooter try to get into the black vehicle in the sale lot, but the door was locked. Once he left, she dug her boyfriend's cell phone out of his pocket and called 911.
I mean, the idea of being in a car when there's an active shooter is terrifying because, like, you think you're safe, but, like, if they point the gun towards the car or
you're
see
screwed.
You, it's like, yeah.
Well, as soon as officers start processing the scene, another report came into dispatcher saying, I'm at a Kalamazoo Cracker Barrel. Two cars have been shot up and one guy is not moving, end quote. Cracker Barrel is a very popular restaurant, like around, I think, maybe it's just an East Coast thing, like Midwest East Coast.
Maybe, yeah.
I've never been, but I always want to go.
I don't remember in California at all.
Yeah, I don't feel like
they don't have California. Them. Yeah, it doesn't seem like a West Coast thing.
It's the same thing as the cheese, Cracker Barrel cheese.
Okay, yes, it's the same brand. Oh, okay. It's the same brand, but it's not like, it's like a,
it's a restaurant
you can get
thing.
Everything there. Yes, yeah. It's like a restaurant convenience store.
Yeah, they have like a whole like
gift shop yeah.
That's connected to every restaurant. So yeah, I'm sure the cheese is there. They have really good apple butter. Just going to throw that out there.
Oh,
I bet it's big in the zoo.
In the Crack- zoo?
Kalamazoo.
Oh, Kalamazoo. Got
not it. As big as our beer.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
A news report at the time said, on Saturday night in Kalamazoo, a woman is shot several times in a parking lot in an apartment complex. She survived, but is in serious condition. At 10:08 p.m., Richard Smith and his 17-year-old son Tyler are shot and killed at a car dealership. And at 10:24 p.m., four women, all over the age of 60, are shot and killed at a Cracker Barrel.
Wow.
A 14-year-old girl was also shot, but survived. A manhunt was underway to find the person pulling the trigger.
I mean, that's within like an hour, basically.
I mean, it's literally within like 30 fucking minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
The car was a dark blue Chevy, same as had been at the previous shooting, but the first shooting had been a silver Chevy.
Yeah.
It's now an active shooter situation, and media crews alerted the public to the manhunt. But when detectives got a description of the shooter from the Cracker Barrel, it matched the first shooting, so they figured it must be connected.
Yeah.
I have just, this is insane. Like, if I were in Kalamazoo at the time, and it's like there was a silver Chevy, and then there was a blue Chevy or whatever, I would be freaking out thinking that there's some kind of cult of people that love Chevy.
Totally.
Like when those together to like go on a killing spree.
Do you remember like 2 or 3 years ago when those clowns were around Los Angeles, like terrifying people?
Right.
And it was like that. You know what I mean? It's like, what fucking nut jobs around doing this shit?
Right.
I mean, yeah, that's so right, because then that feels like you can't control it.
Is it
if it's one person,
two people,
totally,
in cahoots or more?
Well, listen, it was a Saturday night. People were out, and the priority was to prevent any more deaths,
of course.
So eventually authorities thought they'd spotted the car. An officer said, quote, if this is actually the shooter, there's a couple of ways that this is going to end. The person's either going to flee in a car and we're going to get a pursuit, or there's going to be a gunfight. Mm-hmm. That's pretty typical.
Sure.
But surprisingly, the driver stops and plays ball. When officers pat him down, they find a weapon that matches the caliber of casings found at the scenes. Mm-hmm. An officer at the time remembered he matched the description of the person we're looking for, driving the car what we're looking for. Oh my gosh, this is the guy. And he never said a word, just stood there. It was just an eerie feeling.
That is eerie. Like, he's just kind of like, yeah, here I am.
Well, yeah, because it's like you're not fighting us. So.
Yeah, why is that? Right.
The man's name was Jason Dalton. He was a bit round, wore glasses, and had graying hair, just like the woman in the car described, the girlfriend. The rampage seemed to be over, but the damage, unfortunately, was not done. NBC News reported that 6 people died and another 2 were seriously injured, including a 14-year-old girl who had been pronounced brain dead, but squeezed her mother's hand as doctors were preparing to harvest her organs, police said.
Oh,
amid the carnage, her survival stood out as a miracle, authorities said. The girl was rushed to surgery and survived.
Thank God. I mean, that's terrifying to think that that's just something that could happen in this world.
I mean, being pronounced brain dead, but then squeezing your mother's hand. Oh, my God.
Before they're ready to kind of like
imagine the mother.
Oh, my God.
She's like, no.
I would love to know, like, from her what her experience. Like, did she have a near-death experience?
Right.
Or, like, what was happening in her mind?
Totally.
So with Dalton in custody, detectives quickly check his background. The Kalamazoo police chief said Dalton had no record of criminal history, nor anything in his background, quote, that would lead us to believe he was capable of this type of behavior, end
quote.
Which
is even crazier. That's
crazy.
Because this kind of reminds me of Israel Keyes.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was like, not only was he a good travel, you know, and leaving kill kits, so that helped, mm-hmm. but that he just sort of seemed like this loving father with his daughter.
Yeah.
And
he was in the military. And
right. And he didn't seem like, always like, I think it was the Green River Killer who was like, no, this was a great neighbor. He mowed our lawns and seemed to be a good guy. And you know what I mean?
Makes this all like so much more disturbing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, detective said, quote, we could not find anything on why these shootings happened. Underneath his sweater, he is wearing a bulletproof vest. That was a bit alarming.
Wow.
End quote.
Wow, wow, wow.
Well, then it was time for the interrogation. According to ABC News, quote, investigators spoke with him over the course of about 4 hours overnight. And the next day, Dalton showed no emotion in the interrogation room.
I mean, so this could either be, I don't want to, but right now, this is like a psychopath.
Yeah.
Like a sociopath, not showing any emotions, not even being scared.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the primary focus of the interview was to find out if there were more victims or threats to society. A detective asked, quote, is there anybody else that needs any medical attention that we might now know about? End quote. Dalton replied, quote, can I just plead the fifth? End quote.
And I think that's such a casual way to say it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, do you mind if I just like sit this one out.
Yeah, sit this one out.
I'm just going to take a nap. You know what I mean? So fucking casual. It's like a Matt answer.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
In fact, I could see it at the DC show.
Him saying,
and I'm like, hey, do
fifth?
You want to turn to the next fucking slide? And he's like, can I just plead the fifth?
You know, obviously he's going to do that.
100% he's going to do that.
You've set him up. Well, an interviewing detective said, quote, Detective Morian and I eventually left the room and had a conversation with several other detectives and superiors. There was a risk in continuing the interview with Jason Dalton, but there is a public safety exception to Miranda rights. We definitely walk a fine line, but it was determined that we would continue to question him based on the public safety exception, end quote. Basically, there's a thing where, like, if you feel like as an interrogator, there's a public safety issue, the Miranda rights are waived, and I guess you can pursue, I guess, finding truth and justice in that way, I guess. And I hope I'm saying that the best way. I'm not a professional in that world.
You're no Megan.
I'm no Megan, right? Megan's like, yeah, that's right.
She's like, sounds right. Can I plead the fifth?
Yeah, can I plead the fifth?
Plead the fifth.
So they asked him, quote, this is just for public safety. How many different locations did you shoot people at today? Just so we know we're not missing one, end quote. It's so interesting that these are the kind of questions that, like, interrogators have to ask. It's like,
but they're waiting for them to trip up.
That's true. But we are on the other side of it where we're like, why did he do it? What did you know? But they're like, by the way, where else did you shoot today? Like, it's just a completely different frame of mind.
Well, I feel like they're trying to get him to confess to everything and see if it matches up. Because, you know, as we know, also people confess to murders that they didn't commit.
That they didn't do, yeah. The other detective added, quote, could not fathom somebody laying in a ditch and they cannot get help, end quote. Dalton replied, I know that isn't the case, end quote. They continued to interview him and he revealed that he had a wife and kids and they were all alive and well.
Interesting.
But he wouldn't reveal anything else and there was no criminal history and no history of mental illness, not even any medication involved. It just didn't add up.
That's weird.
Dalton just said, quote, I'd like to just not discuss it, end quote.
Would be nice. Like, again, a Matt thing. Matt, what's the case? I'd rather just not discuss it.
Listen, if I could get through life saying I'd just rather not discuss this.
I mean, Matt's your boss. He's clearly allowing this to occur.
Yeah, Matt, we're going to, in my one-on-one, I'm just going to be like, I just would rather not discuss any of this today.
Yeah, I don't want to do my job. Yeah,
simple.
That's fine.
Simple as that.
William Bartleby.
I don't care.
Never mind, move on.
Megan
got it.
I don't know what William Bartleby.
His boss asked him to do stuff. It's an old story. We might have to cut this, but anyway. But his boss always asked him to carry out tasks. The story is from like the early 1900s or something. And he would say something like, I'd prefer not to. I'd rather not.
I'd rather not.
I'd rather not. So
that's such a good answer.
Over the course of the whole story, he ends up not working at all. Like he just sits at his desk. Yeah, and he's just, I'd rather not.
All right.
That's amazing. That's a Seinfeld episode.
Definitely, yeah. Oh, yeah. But just then, a detective from the sheriff's office came and said he knew Dalton and ran a program that Dalton's son attended. So detectives decided to send him in and that it was the best chance they had to get something out of him. Here's a snippet of the interview, Darren. So I'm going to be McGee.
Okay. And
detective
I'll be,
McGee.
I'll be the perp.
Okay. You be Jason Dalton. And then why don't you be Morian, the other detective, because Matt can be Jason Dalton. Does that make sense?
Okay.
All right. So Matt is Jason Dalton. We're the detectives. You're all right tonight?
Yeah, not really, though, but...
What's going on?
I know you want an explanation.
Yeah.
If you guys only knew, it would blow your mind.
You can give one because you're not this guy.
No. Now, if you guys only knew, it would blow your mind.
Okay.
Okay, I recognize the symbol that's on Uber.
Uh-huh.
Could you bring my phone up to me so I could see it?
I have the Uber thing on here.
Could I see it, please?
Mm-hmm.
When I clicked that, it went... And then there was like a devil head that popped up, and I pressed that button, and that's where all the problems went after that. I've experienced the full body takeover. It literally has control over you. I would never have done any of those atrocities that have happened.
Right.
What made you get your firearm tonight? The app? The Uber?
Is that what made you put the vest on, too?
Yeah.
Do you remember shooting people?
There's, like, little spots where it pops in and pops out.
Scene.
We had not rehearsed that.
I mean, listen, we have great acting, but, like, listen. I'm so curious to see where this Jason guy is going with this Uber madness. This is kind of crazy.
We're no Ariel Kibble from Thursday's Another Shot, guys.
Close.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't a lot of specifics, but Dalton was at least admitting, although... Was he claiming that the Uber app made him do it? I mean, I've never heard of this.
Well, also the devil, was it like, did you hit the emoji? The devil horns emoji?
Which is my favorite one.
That's my favorite one.
He did admit that he had recently started driving for Uber, though. Mm-hmm. Okay, so ABC News reported that Dalton explained in detail how he claimed the ride-sharing app had guided him to kill unsuspecting residents. He apparently said, quote, it was some sort of like horn head, like a cow head or something. Reindeer. I pressed that button, and that's where all the problems went after that, end quote. Uh-huh. I'm sure I could see Matt incorporating this in the show.
Yeah.
When he fucks up, you know he's going to say, I took an Uber.
I think I know what happened. This guy probably follows Matt the bartender on Instagram.
Yes, definitely.
Matt posted something on Instagram. Yes. He got a push notification that said it, and it showed Matt's face, and he clicked it, and that's what inspired him.
Yeah, because if I see Matt's face, I'd want to kill people,
well,
too.
Well, for sure.
The humanity.
Yeah.
He continued to explain that the phone communicated with him. One ding meant yes, but two dings meant no, telling him what to do.
That's disgusting.
According to NBC News, Uber's chief security officer said Dalton had passed a background check to become a driver and that the company was horrified and heartbroken. But again, there's no history of mental illness.
Yeah.
We don't see any criminal record from this. I mean, totally possible. A detective said, quote, you're looking at this guy that just killed all these people, these strangers that have nothing to do with anything. I mean, just random strangers. I mean, for somebody to go from nothing in their life, no contact with police, to this, and then to show this lack of emotion, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it in my life, end quote.
And specifically, there's absolutely no motive involved whatsoever at this point. Like, there's no reason that he would do this. It's crazy.
Well, we're bringing in another detective at this point. So the interrogation continues. I will continue to be Detective Morian. Mm-hmm. You can be Detective Ghirangeli, and you can still be Jason. All right, Matt?
Okay.
All right, let's start the interrogation.
I do remember the Cracker Barrel.
Oh, the restaurant. Okay.
What? What do you remember about that?
I never even aimed.
You just went like that?
It's just, yes.
You remember doing that?
I remember that it had me. You know what I mean? I don't know how much I may have done or not done.
If you think of anything, can you let us know?
scene.
By the way, Matt read those very like he had rehearsed that in his head before. So well, just
I did not because normally my mouth is taped shut in this studio, as you know.
Oh, well, of course. I'm just saying it sounded like
you're bound and gagged.
You've said it before, whether it be somewhere here or somewhere else. It's fine.
Well, second interview commenced afterwards with intent to show that Dalton knew what he was doing and had a plan. The interviewing detective said, quote, after what occurred in the first interview, I advised him I still wanted to Mirandize him, where I read him his Miranda rights, and I asked him very directly if he cared to sit and talk with me, which he granted, so he consented to speak with me. Dalton told him, quote, it felt like I was on fire. This is the really scary part, is I go down in my basement where I have my guns, and I'm like a robot. I'm just putting guns together, end quote. It's almost like he's out of his body, like an exorcism.
Yeah. In some articles, here were some things where he spent a lot of time in a gun shop, and like they knew him, so he collected guns, and he would go in and talk to the people that worked there about guns all the time, so he was like clearly kind of obsessed with guns.
Clearly. Which doesn't mean you're a killer. No. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't say anything about anything,
yes,
but
it
like,
does. I'm just kidding.
Make a political stance here. We do not agree with that, Matt.
Yeah. I'm kidding too. No,
that's right.
Love you.
He continued, quote, I go by this woman and I ask her if she's McKinney. And she says, no, I'm not. Why do you ask? And I'm like, I'm the Uber driver. And so then I go down and I go around again. And then I reached in and I grabbed my Glock and I go up. I just had to go like that. And it just had me. It was pop, 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 pop. I know I killed her because how could you survive that many gunshots? End quote. But Dalton didn't know she had in fact survived. And until now, police didn't know for certain that he was even linked to the first attack. So here we are getting the confessions going. Dalton admitted that after the first attack, he quickly drove away and switched cars to avoid detection and brought his guns in the new car, then continued Ubering. He had a plan and was conscious of what he was doing in the eyes of police. He then admitted going to the car dealership, saying hello, killing the father and son before going to the Cracker Barrel.
Oh, my God.
He is on a mission.
That's a lot, yeah.
Quote, right after the first shooting at the apartments, he left the scene and sideswiped a car, said a sheriff in Kalamazoo, according to Reuters. Jason switched from a silver Chevrolet Equinox to a Chevy HHR, and both vehicles belonged to his family. Chevy family. Dalton said, quote, I get out, and I walk up to this lady and ask her. I asked her if she could spare a dollar, and she told me that she didn't have a dollar to spare, and I shot her. Then I heard some people screaming, and then I shot people in a car. The victims at the Cracker Barrel were all friends. They were Mary Jo Nye, who was 60 years old, Judy Brown, 74, Barbara Hawthorne, 68, and Mary Nye, 62. Mm. Then Jason said in his interrogation that he went to his house to get more bullets. Quote, yeah, I did reload a magazine. He said, I know that they think of me as a monster because of what I done is kind of monstrous. The assistant...
Good point. Take a drink.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. Right. The assistant prosecutor told Criminal Confessions, quote, statements that he made were very important because not only did they personally put him there, but at the point we thought he might claim some sort of insanity, his interviews with Detective Gorham showed that it wasn't just one spree where he went out of his mind for 45 seconds, that this was something that happened over 6 or 7 hours, that he was doing rational things in between. That makes it very difficult in my experience to claim insanity. And that was our job to make sure he would never have the opportunity to leave prison. And investigators seized no less than 11 weapons from Dalton's home. He was charged with 16 counts in all, including 6 counts of murder and attempted murder of a minor.
Well, in a preliminary examination hearing, the seemingly calm Jason Dalton had a bizarre outburst that brought his first victim, Tiana Carruthers, to lose her composure. Remember, she'd been shot 4 times by this guy and had struggled for her life in the hospital for weeks. Dalton began to raise his voice when Tiana was trying to speak on the stand. He was talking incoherently about people, quote, with black bags, end quote.
Huh.
Tiana was really beginning to weep at this point. The judge said, quote, if you have anything to say, you whisper it to your attorney. That's today's rules, end quote.
Jeez.
I like your
emphasis, Jim.
Yes, absolutely.
Today's rules.
I'm going to start telling that to everybody I meet. Only whisper things to me. That's today's rules.
Yeah, that's right.
Then Dalton began shouting, take it, take it. Dalton was kicked out of the courtroom. He went limp and officers escorted him. By the way, sounds like a great guy, this piece of work here. He attended the rest of the preliminary examination via video conference. Those testifying were able to overcome their fears once he was removed and recount their terrifying memories. It seemed like the case itself would be open and shut, but unfortunately a challenge was made to case evidence. The assistant prosecuting attorney explained, quote, Mr. Dalton's attorney challenged the Miranda warnings that Mr. Dalton tried to stop these interviews and was not allowed to do so, and by that, his constitutional rights were infringed upon and should not be used in the case, end quote. That's what we were just talking about, the right. Sort of public safety thing. Dalton's attorney said, quote, five times he says he doesn't want to speak. 15 of those times, he actually mentions the word the fifth, end quote. But as mentioned earlier, there's a public safety exception to the Miranda rights that allows for continued interrogation if there is an active threat to public safety. Detectives claimed this was what they were following. But the rulings were challenged and appealed for 3 years. No trial had begun because of this endless cycle. Then when a trial did finally begin and closure for the victims and their families was finally possible, Dalton pled guilty on the last day of jury selection.
I hate this fucking guy
already.
What a
terrible person. But Tiana Carruthers did get to address him, saying, quote, you tried to kill us all. You failed. I'm standing right in front of you. I am standing here. How does that make you feel? Look at me. End
wow,
quote.
That's powerful.
Love Tiana Carruthers, by the way. According to Michigan Live, quote, Dalton pleaded guilty just before the prosecutor and defense attorney were supposed to start voir dire, the process of questioning 112 potential jurors for the case, end quote. Just, Megan, can we get a definition of voir dire? Do we know exactly?
Isn't it just like interviewing for jury selection?
It's jury selection. Perfect. It's asking people questions.
Very straight to the point. Thank you, Megan. I'm not a legal expert, so good to we good that we have
to be fair though.
Yeah, what is
well
this,
to be
France?
Fair
it's
in
definitely
the
not in Kalamazoo.
To be fair, in what you just said in the quote explains what.
Okay, sorry. I just wanted to
I'm
an
just
official
saying
definition. Apparently, discussions of pleading guilty had been taking place for months. His defense had withdrawn an insanity defense after explaining that an independent forensic examination showed Dalton didn't meet the requirements for insanity.
Well, to be fair, like we were talking about, I mean, he has these periods of rationality. And if you're insane, you're not having periods of rationality.
Well, that's true. That's an interesting point. Yeah.
I mean, I can't say for sure, right? Yeah. Because like having the no emotion thing to me is like, okay, a tall tale sign of a sociopath. There are subtle differences, I think, between a sociopath and a psychopath, but essentially a sociopath is someone who can't understand empathy, right? Yeah, through nurture. But then the other one is nature, where it's sort of they were born without any comprehension of how to process emotions or empathy, right, Megan? Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, his lawyer even told the judge, quote, he is doing that against my advice, Your Honor. But in speaking to Mr. Dalton, there are reasons for that. There are personal reasons for him. He does not want to put his family through that or the victims' families through the trial. It's his decision against my advice, end quote. That's an interesting detail as well. Dalton's defense attorney, after 3 years of fighting, said, quote, he does not want to put his family or the victims' families through the trial, end quote. Dalton pled guilty to every charge, 6 counts of murder, 2 counts of assault with intent to murder, and weapon charges. That's a lot of charges going on.
Lots of chargings.
And after everything, that's how it ended. Basically a mystery. The assistant prosecuting attorney said, quote, I still didn't have any more idea of why he did it than the day I woke up and was looking at the news and found out what had happened here, end quote. And I think that is the biggest mystery of this case is like, what exactly is the motive? I mean, was it truly this demonic, overwhelming, like out of body experience for him? I mean, it's crazy.
That's what's so frustrating because there's no history of it, you know? And again, the period that not having a history of it and then the periods of rationality in between where it's sort of like just a normal beep, 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 beep day. Mm-hmm. And I wonder sort of if that is strategic on his part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To kind of show how like erratic he is. Maybe he thought he was going to be able to get insanity because of that.
Right.
Because it almost seems insane to have going like these ebbs and flows of it. I don't know.
Well, and then also, it seems like he feels no empathy at all.
He couldn't even look at the people, though.
No emotion. And then all of a sudden, on the like right as the trial is starting, he's going to plead guilty because he doesn't want the families to go through that. Like, I don't believe that he gives a shit.
No, right. And even when Carruthers was on stand, you know, and she was like, look at me, look at me. And he wouldn't. Mm-hmm. That if he didn't care at all, he would be able to just look at her in the eye and just be like, well, fuck you. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of weird things that aren't adding up with this guy. And I think that's what's so scary about him.
Maybe he was annoyed and didn't want to give her the pleasure of following her
instructions.
Yes. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe he wanted to deny her even that. Like, it's hard to say what is going on there.
Maybe he was pulling a man and just not paying attention.
That could be it. But
it's possible.
I will say this. I will never be able to ride in an Uber again completely comfortably.
Well, let me just say, I know we haven't done moral in the story in a while, but this That's true. So fucking important. Check the, I mean, not that this would have prevented it.
No, right.
But check the fucking license plate.
Oh, yeah.
Because now, you know, compared to what's going on your app, because at least now if, you know, you get in a car mm-hmm. with that guy and he just suddenly shoots you, mm-hmm. at least you know what fucking Uber I was in. Well, you know what true. I mean? Like,
and I think, I use Uber and Lyft, which is like its competitor all around New York. And one of them, or maybe both of them, do now say, like, make sure you check your license plate
before
you get in.
Yeah, I think both of them kind of do now, because they should, and they should encourage it. But just, especially women, just double check that.
For sure.
Definitely.
Well, let us know what you think about this case on social media. Use hashtag martinis and murder, and you can also tag us at Jay Thrasher, Carpe Darren, and Matt the Bartender.
I wonder what Uber thinks of the case.
I know, that's true. I bet they've made they had to have made, like, some sort of statement.
Yeah.
We'll look it up.
Well, speaking of having to Uber places, we are going to have a live show in Washington, D.C. this coming Wednesday, February 12th, right before Valentine's Day at Hamilton Live. We are so stoked to come to D.C. and tell our case. No, there's not enough action in D.C. this year.
I know, right?
So
Martinis
and Murder has decided to overcome that sickness.
Deficit of
And that deficit
drama.
Of excitement. Right. And we are going to bring you a very fun case. And Matt, of course, will be there. You can get tickets on our social bios, inner show notes. You can also get them at oxygen.tv/DC. My initials. 20.
They are your initials. I didn't even think that. Washington.
Darren Karp. That's right.
That's why
named after me.
That's why we went there.
They say it's District of Columbia, who really knows?
And by the way, we don't have any further scheduled shows at the moment, so this might be the last time for a while that you're going to see us on the road. Okay, so let's skip to listener shout-outs real quick.
Okay.
Crystal on Twitter sent me a photo of Matt with an orange peel. Matt, I don't even think I show this to you yet, saying, quote, "This is how far behind I am on being in the know. Just joined Martinis and Murder on episode 30, so a newcomer. Love it. Here's my pick of how I envision Matt." And it's a picture of a little stick figure of Matt holding an orange peel. I thought it was really
cute.
Was
it accurate?
It was pretty much accurate.
Yeah, I would say he's a stick figure.
Yeah. Matt, do you remember back
little
in the
substance.
Day when we asked people to, like, draw pictures of what they thought you looked like?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll make sure you see.
We had some good ones.
We had some really good ones. I love that new fans are picking up on that, like, years later.
Yeah, right. I love it.
Yeah.
I know it's fun to go back.
Yeah,
and, like,
I know.
They remember things that we don't because it's been 3 fucking years.
Totally, it has.
Purely on Twitter says, "By the way, what's up with Matt not having Twitter? Only mom and dad and no kids allowed."
I responded to this and I said, if Matt behaves after this next DC show, then maybe we'll give him a Twitter.
Matt can barely pay attention to the case for 45 minutes that he has right in front of him. That, by the way, he wrote.
He wrote this case.
He wrote. Yeah. So getting him on Twitter is going to be a feat, let me tell you.
I mean, we do have by the way, this is a good plug for our Martinis and Murder Twitter account, which is @martinis_murder. It's mainly news and retweets of what we're up to, frankly.
Of course.
Follow it if you're interested, because we do post stuff there from time to time. Matt, what do you think about, like, getting a Twitter account someday? You already have a lot going on with Instagram, right?
I don't have time.
You don't have time? All right.
I mean, that's clear.
Well, that's clear.
We don't need another thing on his plate.
Check out fucking TikTok, though. It's banging.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. Banging? We got to go.
Do you have a TikTok?
No, he better not.
He better not.
He's going to get arrested if he has a TikTok.
All right. I joke with my daughter, Maggie, and her friends. When she has her friends over, I say something about, on my TikTok.
Yeah.
And Maggie's always like, "Daddy." And she looks at him like, He doesn't have a TikTok.
That's hilarious.
I love that.
There is a whole, like, section of TikTok. Like, there's some hashtag of, like, parents that, like, create a TikTok account to, like, troll their kids, like, famous TikTok accounts. And it's always, like, hilarious, exactly what Matt was just explaining. So check it out.
It's called FicFoc.
Yeah, FicFoc, but for parents.
Because you have Finster and stuff like that. So it's FicFoc. Well, this was a fun show.
This was a good show. We will
never
see you
taking an Uber again.
Wednesday, don't take an Uber to our show. If you do, check the license plate.
Absolutely. Right, bye, guys.